Welcome to this Science Progress podcast. My name is Sean Poole, and I'm here with my colleague, Dr. Andrew Light, the Coordinator for International Climate Policy and a Senior Fellow at the Center for American Progress. Today, we're talking with Anthony Lycerowitz, the Director of the Yale Project on Climate Change Communication and a principal investigator of a pair of new polls about the public's perception about climate science, released jointly with the George Mason University Center for Climate Change Communication. The first poll, Climate Change in the American Mind, Americans' Global Warming Beliefs and Attitudes in 2011, is the fourth in a series of polls tracking America's understanding of climate science facts since 2008. The second poll, Public Support for Climate and Energy Policies in May 2011, tracks Americans' support for and how highly they would prioritize climate change and energy policies. So the two are different, and in fact, as Anthony has found, Americans' beliefs and attitudes towards the two are surprisingly different. So with that in mind, thank you, Anthony, for being here with us today.
Oh, thanks for having me.
And so, quick question. Should we call you Tony, Anthony,
Tony.
Dr. Lycerowitz?
No, Tony's fine.
Okay.
Notice you were Anthony on NPR this morning.
I'm among friends now.
Okay.
Tony, so your polling seems to lead to contradictory results. You found in that May 2011 poll that 64% of Americans believe that global warming is happening, and only 47% of Americans believed humans to be the main cause. Yet at the same time, 71% of Americans said that addressing global warming should be a very high, or medium priority for Congress in the second poll, and a whopping 91%, including 85% of Republicans, think that developing clean energy sources should be a similarly very high, or medium priority. So the two questions seem to be, why do more Americans seem to support action on climate change than actually believe in climate change? And has there been a decline in the number of Americans who understand climate science overall?
Sure. Well, let me take the second question first of public understanding. So what we have seen since about the fall of 2008 was a pretty significant decline in public belief that climate change is happening or human-caused or of an issue of great worry. And as of last year, as of like basically January of last year, we had found with our own surveys about a 14 percentage point drop in public belief that climate change was happening. This was also found by a whole host of other survey companies from Gallup and Pew and Ipsos and CNN and others. But since then, we've seen that actually the numbers have begun to come back up again. Not back up to where they were in the fall of 2008, but about half of the distance, about 7 points back, until May of this year, we found that about 64% of Americans said that climate change is happening.
So to what can we attribute this V-shape, the drop in 2009 and 10, and then the rebound we're seeing here in 2011?
Yes, so a whole bunch of things have happened here. So there's no one single cause. We think a number of things underlie this broader trend, not just about belief in climate change happening, but also public concerns and priorities for the issue as well. And first and foremost is the economy. But secondly, and underappreciated, I think, is the role of media coverage. We have colleagues that study newspaper coverage as well as television coverage, and they have found that since 2007, newspaper coverage of this issue has dropped to less than one-third of what it was back in 2007, and television network news coverage, like the CBS Evening News type coverage, has dropped to less than one-fifth of what it was back then. And again, most Americans only know about this issue through what they encounter through the media. I mean, they don't know climate scientists. They don't read the peer-reviewed literature. They learn about this issue, which is invisible to most of us, through the media. And so when the media doesn't report the issue, it's literally out of sight and out of mind. So we think that's played an important role.
So one of the things, Tony, that I was interested in with respect to the measures of the public on whether or not global warming is happening is that Your work in with Ed has more undecideds, and more people are sort of saying they're not really sure about that, while other work by John Krosnick, for example, has a much lower number. So how is that explained?
Yeah, so the main thing is that the questions are structured pretty differently. So first of all, John forces people to either say, yes, global warming is happening, or no, it isn't. And then only if they volunteer are they allowed to, or does he record a don't know answer?
Mm-hmm.
We view that as a really important knowledge question. I mean, this is a scientific fact that climate change is happening, and so we view this as an important measure of knowledge. And as part of that, we're really interested to know who actually thinks it is happening, who thinks it isn't happening, but just as importantly, who doesn't know. And so we make that an explicit response option, and what we find is that consistently we see about 20% of the public that says they don't know. That's compared with the only 3% that John finds when he just simply asks for volunteers. And that's really the fundamental difference between the two findings. So people are basically being asked the question, and they say, you have two options. Mm-hmm. Either it's happening or it's not. And what he finds is that about 10% more people will say, yes, it is happening.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas we're finding that, you know, if you take those same people and give them the don't know response option, 20% of Americans will choose I don't know. And in fact, we even follow our question of do you think it's happening or not with the question, well, if you think it is happening, how sure are you that it's happening? Or if you believe alternatively that it's not happening, how sure are you that it's not happening? And what we find is that on both sides, only 50% of either those who say it is happening and 50% of those who say it isn't happening are really sure of their answers. The other 50% in both of those groups are really kind of wishy-washy about this.
Mm-hmm.
And when you put that together with the 20% who simply say quite, you know, right up front, say, I don't know, that really shows how much movement there is in this issue, that people really just, they don't know a lot about it, and we've got plenty of other evidence that suggests that as well, it demonstrates it. And again, that's crucial information for anyone who's trying to educate and inform the public. And so what all of this means is that even among those people who say, yes, it is, and those that say, no, it isn't, about half of each of those groups is really unsure. They're not that confident in their views, suggesting that there's actually a lot more flexibility in both of those perspectives than would otherwise be known with a simple is it happening or not question.
Which is kind of good news and bad news for those of us in the advocacy community, because on the one hand, we could lose some people who we have.
That's right.
If there's another climate gate in the future or something like that.
That's right.
But on the other hand, we could also potentially get some people back on side with the right kind of education.
That's right. And that's exactly, I mean, our whole focus is really about what do people understand and what don't they understand. And, you know, this is crucial information for educators or anyone trying to inform the general public of how strongly do they hold these views. You know, how likely are they to be able to change their mind? And you're exactly right that some people, and in fact, an important stereotype to try to break down is that some people tend to take anyone who is questioning or skeptical about whether climate change is happening and lump everybody into this single group, and that's really not appropriate.
Mm-hmm.
There are many different species of climate skeptics that have very different reasons for being unconvinced. And, you know, some of them are hardcore conspiracy theorists who think it's all a plot. You know, those are the people that are very difficult to reach because they're just so hard and fast convinced of their viewpoint. But plenty of others say, well, you know, I just don't think that the evidence shows it yet. They're open to evidence. Other people doubt because of their own personal experience. You know, we had a record snowstorm last winter, so therefore it can't be true. You know, those are people who we believe, at least, are much more amenable to interacting with the basic science if they're given the opportunity to.
So let me turn to the second topic that we wanted to take up with you, and this comes from the sort of the very end of the public support for climate and energy policies in May 2011 report. I don't want to accuse you of burying the lead here, but this really did just jump out at me. Last question, impact of environmental protection on economic growth by political party. Now, your findings show that, this is surprising, 76% of Republicans think that either there is no impact on economic growth by environmental protection, or there's a positive impact on economic growth by efforts to improve environmental protection. This is just absolutely fascinating to me.
I'm really glad you picked that up, Andrew, because that's exactly one of the things I found most interesting in this as well. And this basically comes out of a long-term frustration I've had that one of the classic, most traditional, most often used measures of support for the environment, and this goes back decades, is the simple choice, do you prefer environmental protection even if it harms the economy, or economic growth even if it harms the environment? And it, again, it's a forced false choice. Okay, it's an either-or zero-sum game. And I've never really liked that question because it's forcing people into a situation that maybe doesn't really reflect how they think. So what I did is I rewrote the question to basically say, do you believe that protecting the environment harms the economy and costs jobs, has no effect, or actually improves the economy and increases jobs? And as you said, what we found looking overall is 82% of Americans say that protecting the environment either improves economic growth and provides new jobs, that's 56% of the public says that, or has no impact on the economy, and that's another 26%. And likewise, that this is across the board. 76% of Republicans think that, 74% of independents, and 94% of Democrats don't buy into this forced choice zero-sum game, that it's either the environment or it's the economy.
And this is really interesting in light of just this past week, that you've got John Huntsman and Mitt Romney, who among the current crowd of potential Republican nominees for president in 2012, both of them have not backed down from their previous support as governors of on their claim that climate change is real and it's happening. But both of them said almost identically, said, yes, I still think it's happening, but now is not the time to do anything because of the economy. And here we got some suggestion that really that message only really resonates with about 25% of the Republican electorate.
True, but it's a particularly important part of the Republican electorate. I mean, you can't separate their stances right now from the fact that this is a presidential primary,
right,
and that the key people you're trying to reach in a presidential primary are the hardcore base. And what we've seen is that the Republican Party as a whole has basically gone quite a ways away from even the position of George W. Bush when he was president, not only saying that, you know, I don't believe in passing policy, but even questioning the basic science, even the basic fact of climate change. So, you know, I think what they are doing, and to be honest, both Huntsman and Romney have really taken a risk in saying that they actually believe climate change is real and that human activities are largely responsible and that it's a serious problem. That, you know, the day after Romney said that, Rush Limbaugh came back and said, bye-bye nomination.
Yeah.
So, you know, they are in a tough spot.
So, hang on. Let me try to understand this. We've got 82% of the American electorate believing that environmental protection either benefits or is neutral to the economy. And when you look at climate change in particular, what is even more interesting to me is looking at a very specific example of that. You have another result from the same poll that shows 68% of Americans support requiring electric utilities to produce at least 20% of their electricity from renewable energy, even if it were to cost the average household $100 a year and presumably have a negative economic impact. And that includes 58% of Republicans would favor requiring renewable energy generation even at a cost of $100 per year per household. So what I don't understand is when you have four-fifths of people who believe that environmental protection is good for the economy and two-thirds of people who basically say that they want clean energy even if it were bad for the economy, I mean, these are really big numbers in politics. How can it be that members of both parties aren't clamoring to win this clean energy message?
Well, I think this is part of a broader pattern that we've seen actually for many, many years, and I think all of the surveys have shown this, and that is that Americans overwhelmingly support the transition to a clean energy future. Republicans, independents, and Democrats all support major investments in clean energy and subsidies for homeowners to buy more fuel-efficient cars or put solar panels on the roof, et cetera. Because I think everybody can understand the vulnerabilities and the risks that we all face because of our continued, as President George W. Bush called it, addiction to fossil fuel. So, and the point here is that this is one of those policy directions that is like the old phrase, there are many roads to Damascus. You know, some people among, say, the environmental community, they support clean energy because they care about climate change. They care about the environment, and they see that solar and wind and geothermal and so on are good ways to reduce carbon pollution. But others, on the other hand, who are more conservative, who don't even believe climate change is happening, they support the exact same policies. And that's because those same policies are seen as a way to deal with their own values. Okay, and for many of them, they have very strong individualistic values about liberty and self-reliance and independence. And the fact that this country is so dependent on external countries for our fundamental energy source, and by the way, many of those countries aren't exactly the most freedom-loving themselves, it really bothers them. It's an insult, and it's offensive to their own value system that we can't be self-reliant. We are, in a sense, held hostage to our addiction to these old energy systems. So the point here is that, again, liberals, independents, conservatives all support the exact same policies, albeit for different reasons.
And so this brings us back to one of the big topics we were hoping to get to, which is this gap between the vast majority of Americans who want to see action on clean energy and climate, the 91 and 71% in your poll, respectively, and the smaller majority of Americans who actually believe that climate change is happening. So it sounds like what you're attributing the difference to is, on the one hand, a lot of uncertainty amongst those who even say that they do or don't believe in climate change is happening, and B, other imperatives for clean energy besides climate change, like energy independence, resource security, etc.
And not only those, but also concerns about the economic competitiveness of this country, as well as the concerns about public health. And the fact is that the current energy system, like coal use, burning coal is a very dirty energy source. And, you know, there's lots and lots of health impacts of that particular kind of energy. So, I mean, I think people can come and can gather around, can all come to support the exact same policy direction for environmental reasons, economic reasons, national security reasons, health reasons, and what we're even seeing increasingly are moral and religious reasons. All of those different communities can support this kind of policy direction.
Okay, so we're running out of time. So last question to summarize, is the American public more or less ready for climate policy today than they were 2 years ago? Where are we going?
Well, I think what we've seen is that consistently the American people long ago gave their elected officials permission to act, to move towards clean energy. I mean, again, these are not new results. It's very strong bipartisan support. And this has been true for years. So really, the American people long ago gave their elected officials permission to take action.
And yeah, thanks very much again for your time.
Sure. Okay, take care, guys. Bye-bye.
Again, I'm Sean Poole, and I've been talking with Dr. Andrew Light, the Director of International Climate Strategy at the Center for American Progress, and Dr. Tony Lazarowitz, the Director of the Yale Project on Climate Change Communication. You've been listening to Science Progress.